Some 13 and 14 years ago, my husband, whom I called crazy in the 9:30 because he wasn't here, so maybe I will omit that part in the 11, he is crazy. He completed 2 Ironman events. The second one was in Busselton, Western Australia, which is south of Perth, down near Margaret River region, which just coincidentally was where I was born and where at the time I thought maybe that Dave was going to die. Because you see, an Ironman event is a 3.8 kilometre open water swim. Then you cycle 180 kilometres on the bike and then you run 42.2 kilometres, which is a full marathon. This is a true story. The event came to be because there were 3 men one day in a pub. And nothing good starts with anything about 3 men in a pub except for a bad joke. But there were 3 men in a pub. One of them was a swimmer, one of them was a cyclist, one of them was a runner. And they were having a discussion as to which was the hardest thing to do. And so they decided to do it all together, and thus the Ironman event was born. Well, as I said, I've been to 2 of these events. I've seen the highlights of the Hawaiian Ironman, which is the most famous Ironman in the world, on television. Some of you may have seen that. And I'm still not sure if I find it inspiring or completely senseless. I've seen some horrendous sights. People collapsing and being taken from the course in an ambulance. People on IV drips needing to be rehydrated after all the exercise. People vomiting over the edge of their bike or while they're running and they just keep going. Just the kind of family-friendly event that you want to take your 2 and 7-year-old sons to watch. But I remember quite clearly this second Ironman that Dave was participating in. We're about 10 hours into the event. Yes, 10 hours. Dave crossed the finish line at 13 hours something. On that picture you would have seen. He can tell you all about it, I'm sure. But I was standing there like a good wife with my father-in-law because I had this fear that something would happen to Dave, so I took my parents-in-law to Western Australia with us so that they could look after the children if I had to go look after Dave. I was very confident in him and his ability, clearly. But as we were there, this poor man went... He wasn't poor at all because it was a self-inflicted injury. He went limping, kind of hobbling, almost collapsing past us. And just a couple of metres past us, he actually did collapse on the side of the road. And Wes, my father-in-law, who was a runner up until recently, he was still running in his late 70s, went over to talk to this man. And he said to the man, you know, can I help? Is there, what's wrong with you? And the man said that he was experiencing extreme cramp. And so Wes offered to help him up, and the man denied Wes's help, because if Wes had have helped him, it would have been classified as having outside assistance, which meant that he would have been disqualified from the event. Now, he was very upset, this man, because clearly his head and his heart so wanted to complete this event, but his legs were just not willing. In fact, it almost seemed that they were quite useless by that point because he was kind of dragging himself along the ground a little bit. Now, I have no idea if that man had heard the words, as everyone crosses the finish line, they say, you are an Iron Man. Whether you're a woman or a man, they say, you are an Iron Man. I have no idea whether he crossed the finish line. But I do know that he was so frustrated because his body would not work as one. Well, in the scripture that Lyndon read to us just a bit earlier, we heard about the body of Christ and how we as the church are the body. And it's so important for us to work together, not only as one in the body, but also with the head that is Christ. We've returned today to this series, this theme for the year, Life Together. And we heard at the beginning of the scripture reading this verse from 1 Corinthians 12:12 that says, the body is a unit, though made up of many parts, And though all its many parts, sorry, and through all its many parts, they form one body. Yes, we are all different. Some of you might be saying, thank you, Jesus, that I'm different to the person sitting elsewhere or to my spouse. But together, we are one. We are the local church. We share a common faith, a common conversion. I think most of us here have met Jesus. We have a fellowship of believers, and we have a goal and a desire for others to meet Jesus. You know, this word body is introduced in this passage of scripture right at the beginning, at that verse 12, and Paul uses the word 18 times throughout the remainder of the chapter. We are the members, the parts of this body. Everybody is somebody, and as such, we need each other. Not only for the overall health of the body of Christ, but also for each individual to operate at our full potential. We've mentioned numerous times throughout the year this little book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer titled Life Together. And he says, in a Christian community, everything depends upon whether each individual is an indispensable link in a chain. Only when even the smallest link is securely interlocked is the chain unbreakable. Every Christian community must realise that not only do the weak need the strong, but the strong cannot exist without the weak. However, sadly, we know that we do not live nor worship in a perfect world or church. But I would say that perhaps there would be two key problems that prevent us from maybe functioning as best we can in unity but in diversity in the body of Christ. And these two things might be what we call inferiority complex and superiority complex, or self-pity and pride. When certain Christians don't think that they have anything to offer, and therefore they fail to participate in the life of the church, the body can't be complete. But on the other hand, when some people may think to themselves or think of themselves as God's gift to the church, and they don't allow others to contribute their gifts, again, the body does not function as God intended it to. If this passage tells us one thing, it reminds us that both the feelings of inferiority and of superiority are not what helps to build Christ's church. God has actually designed the church, the body, to achieve his purpose, and we all have a part to play, and I believe that God places us where we need to be. In 1 Corinthians 12:18, it says, but in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. None of us are here by accident. I say that for myself. It is no accident that the Salvation Army has appointed me to be at Parramatta at this time. God has placed us here for a reason. And every member of the body of Christ is vital. Every person is valuable in this church, and what every person does is valuable. Last year during lockdown, I was clearly bored, like probably some of you, and I read a historic opinion piece about two events that happened in the USA in 1981. So last year was 30 years since these events took place. The first one was this, that President Reagan, this is a photo of him just before he was shot by John Hinckley, and he was hospitalised for several weeks. Although Reagan was the nation's chief executive, actually him being in hospital had very little impact on the nation's activity and productivity. Government continued on. And to the average American, it actually made very little difference as to whether or not the president turned up to work at the White House each day. But the second thing that happened later on in the same year was that there was, they call it a trash strike, but we call it the garbage collectors in the US, actually in New York, went on strike. And the city, as you can see from the picture, was a literal mess, but not just a literal mess, a stinking mess. This article that I read talked about the pile of decaying rubbish on the side of the road that quickly became a health hazard to New Yorkers. And this garbage strike caused so many problems for so many people that it, in fact, almost brought the city to its knees. So who is more important? The president or the rubbish collector? Is there even a correct answer to that question? In verses 15 to 16 in this passage, Paul attempts to get his point across that every member of the body has a different role to play and that all these parts are needed in order for the body to function well as a unit. He mentions two different body parts, the foot and the ear. And as you read up on what he is saying, you can pick up that the feet and the ears seem to have this inferiority complex. I don't know how that is because they don't really talk. But you know, they say, because I'm not a hand or an eye, I don't belong to the body. But Paul says, now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. This phrase, I am not part of the body, certainly is an indication of a feeling of insignificance. No one thinks I'm important or significant. I don't have very much that I can contribute to this ministry. I don't really matter to this church. Have you ever heard someone say this? Have you ever said this? Because there are people who say it. And I'm sorry if you feel this way and if the church has done wrong. But sadly, that's how some people feel. But what did Bonhoeffer say? Bonhoeffer said that every Christian community must realise that not only do the weak need the strong, but the strong cannot exist without the weak. Paul goes on and he says, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. When I was in my early teens, my nana had a partial stroke, which left her temporarily paralysed down one side. She recovered fully from her first stroke. She was able to get around and be her normal independent self. But due to her lifestyle choices, she had several more strokes after that, each one having a greater impact on her body to the point where she was permanently paralysed down one side of her body. Now, I remember her as being a caring, loving woman who was very generous. And my siblings and I, we were her only grandchildren, so we were spoiled rotten. But she was a tough woman, a very tough woman who spoke her mind. And she was not backwards in coming forwards, as the saying goes. And she was so frustrated with her body. And I know that on more than one occasion, she spoke to us, my older brother and I, not to my younger brother and sister, because they were too young to understand. And she spoke to my parents and she would say that she did not appreciate her limbs that didn't work. She called them her stupid limbs. She was forever bruising them and cutting them and banging them, and they would just get in her way. We asked her one time about what she wanted us to do about that, and she suggested that we could cut them off. She only needed the ones that worked properly, is what she said. And she used to rank her limbs in order of how important they were to her. But we read also in 1 Corinthians 12, but in verse 23, that it says that we should treat with special honour the parts that we think are less honourable. We may have different gifts, but they have been given to us by the same Spirit. We may work in different areas of the church, but we're serving the same Lord. We may worship with different styles, but we're definitely worshipping the same God. Each of us is needed to complete the body the way God intended. If we're spending time working out the importance of ourselves against others, then we are certainly not the unified body that God wants. We should be mutually caring for one another, looking out for the parts of the body, the people in our church who are suffering, who need support. And we do what we can to help them through their difficulties. And I know so many people in this community of faith who already do that. When the body of Christ is working well together and each person is fulfilling their role, then I believe that we, the church, the body of Christ, the local faith community of the Salvation Army, we are a force to be reckoned with. Paul says also, lots of wise words from Paul this morning. In Romans 12, he says this, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. In Christ, we are many. We are who are many form one body. Paul also says to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 4, verse 16, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, we are all connected. We grow and it builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As many parts, it often seems that we are working as individuals or that we're working alone. But if we're doing what God has planned for us, then it is for the good of the whole body. And sadly, if we don't do our part, then the scripture says that the body suffers. Others can get worn out, frustrated, burnt out, and even disillusioned with the body. You know, none of us can do everything, but all of us can do something. Many parts, yet one body, is Paul's conclusion. Each member is unique, distinctive, irreplaceable, and unrepeatable. This is the beauty of the church. Instead of getting caught up on the differences, we ought to relish them and learn to capitalize on them. We differ from each other because God wants those differences. He created us this way for a reason, and he brought us together for a reason. We're all different. And that's okay. But our differences ought not to divide us, but unite us. If we all do our part, then the body, the church of God, functions as it was intended to, because everybody is a somebody and there are no nobodies in the body of Christ. Shall we pray? God, our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for people like the Apostle Paul, who was so wise and had such wonderful teaching to leave with us. And Lord, as a body of your people, we want to function well. Lord, I pray that you would help us to embrace one another, that we would continue to realize that we need each other, that we would continue to remember that you have brought us together for a reason, and it's no accident that we are here. Lord, I pray that we would continue to support those who need extra support, those who are facing challenges. Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak to us and remind us of what we need to be doing in this body of yours. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you, the head of our church. Help us to be directed by you. Thank you that you are a God that designed us to be in community. And may we continue to embrace that. Embrace our uniqueness in our diversity to be the best version of the body of Christ that we can be, I pray. Amen.